I'm sure you've seen it. Maybe you've heard it. Perhaps you know someone whose faith is deconstructing. All over YouTube, even TikTok, there are many who say they're walking away from historic Christianity, deconstructing their faith and adopting something else in its place that pales in comparison to the true gospel. Hi, I'm Charles Morris. This is the Great Stories Podcast. And today, David Wolin and I are going to be speaking with a documentary filmmaker who's doing the important work of engaging with progressive Christianity and their arguments against Christ's saving work on the cross. It's an important and timely conversation, and I think you'll benefit from listening in. And for a deeper dive into this critical issue, I also want to recommend you get a copy of Brandon Kimber's DVD. It's called American Gospel, Christ Crucified. And there he respectfully allows opposing viewpoints to make their case, but he also responds with clear insights from the Bible that can be useful for all of us to hear during today's cultural climate. Whether you yourself are facing doubts, or if you're looking at the culture and concerned about how far it's drifting from the way of Jesus, there are very few resources like this, and I want to encourage you to get your copy today. You can watch the trailer and make your gift to receive your copy at haventoday.org. But for now, let's go ahead and let's meet up with Brandon Kimber.
I'm concerned that people today don't know who God is.
You know, people say, like, when did you lose your faith? I'm like, it started 15 minutes after I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Immediately encountered stuff in scripture that I was like, that makes no sense to me.
It's a generation of people who were not taught scripture, and so they were pretty quick to throw it out.
Christ died for our sins.
How does that work exactly? Like, by what cosmic mechanism does the death of Jesus take care of your personal sins?
Jesus was volunteering to drink the cup of God's wrath.
That turns God into some kind of like divine child abuser.
Does God really love me, or has he simply been paid off?
When I survey.
Well, this is Haven Today. I'm David Wolin, and that was a clip from the documentary called American Gospel, Christ Crucified, which sets up the main dilemma this film is addressing, which is progressive Christianity, postmodernism, and the question, is the Bible actually true? And joining me on the program today is Brandon Kimber, the director of this exemplary documentary. Brandon, welcome back to Haven Today.
Thank you for having me, David. It's good to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, purely from the basis of having watched the film that you made, the documentary, American Gospel, Christ Crucified, you have a strong grasp of biblical systematic theology. You have a rapport with people who are both staunch defenders of the gospel, pastors, theologians, but you have a relationship and an ability to connect with people who disagree. And you've brought this together in a project that I think is very important, very timely for the church and the battle that's going on for the minds and the hearts of believers and of people in the Western world. So just real quick, can you describe for us the documentary that you made, what it's about, and the topic really that it's opening up, because that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah. So American Gospel, Christ Crucified is the title. This project really started from personal experience. Growing up in the church, I attended a very seeker-sensitive church where the gospel wasn't really preached. It was all moralism or law. It's all about what you should do and never really reminding the Christian about what Christ has done. And so what happened is that I saw many of my friends go off to college and come back abandoning the essentials of the faith, still calling themselves Christians, but not really embracing doctrines like the exclusivity of Christ or hell or the penal substitutionary atonement of Christ. It was really just Jesus is my example. And their message was just love God, love people. and which is a summary of the law. It's not the gospel. There's no hope in that message. So I went to college myself, and I remember one of the first classes I took was a critical thinking class, and it was really meant to challenge you to rethink or abandon everything your parents taught you, raised you believing. And I had a confidence in my faith, but it was really lacking in maybe the reasons or the knowledge behind that. Like, I really needed to dig into why do I believe what I believe. So I started researching that and came across a much more clear understanding of the gospel that I had ever heard. And part of that was about the atonement. And how does Christ's death on the cross save me?
Brandon, I didn't grow up in a seeker-sensitive church, but I'm I'm very much resonating with you about it, what it's like to enter into college and to encounter people with PhDs and much more learning than you who really can shake your faith and force maybe a crisis of soul searching and Bible searching for the believer. I know I did that. You did that. Where did that lead you?
Well, it really led me into a deeper understanding of the person and work of Christ. And it got me to a point where I had to leave that church and find a healthier church that was preaching the gospel. And especially at the time, being a young parent, you know, with young kids, not wanting my own children to go through the same type of environment, it was really important for me to find a healthy church that would preach the gospel and sound doctrine, and, you know, would help equip me to do the same in the discipling of my own children.
Let's zoom back a little bit and talk about what American gospel means. You've produced now, I know, several films, but all of them under this banner. Can you just give a quick description of what you mean by that? You know, what that means exactly?
Yeah, so sometimes people are confused by the name American gospel. They might think, we think an American gospel is a good thing, but that's the opposite. We think an American gospel is a bad thing. It's basically how our American culture kind of distorts and influences our understanding of the gospel. And that might be, you know, you take the American dream, promise of prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. the American dream is kind of a very individualistic approach. And those ideas can impact the way you understand the faith. And, you know, politics can influence and overshadow the gospel in a church, or even progressive ideas, you know, can influence your understanding. So when we talk about an American gospel, it's kind of, we're talking about a seeker-sensitive approach. You're looking to the culture, and you're trying to see what is attractive to our culture, and you're changing and distorting the message by either adding to the message or subtracting from the message to make it more appealing. Unfortunately, when you do that, you are robbing the gospel of its power.
Amen.
Because it's no longer the gospel.
Yeah. Well, this is something that's been going on in every age of the church. I was reminded just this morning of 2 Timothy 4. It's the end of Paul's final letter to Timothy, and in his personal remarks, he talks about someone named Demas, who loved this world and, he says, has deserted me. And so, you know, even early on, there's this caricature of a person who departed from Christ because of his love for the world. And you know, sometimes it's called referred to as the spirit of the age, but really at every moment of the church throughout the centuries, there are distortions to the essentials of the faith that are luring people away, detracting from what is core to gospel truth. And we have a variety, probably, of iterations of that today, you know, now in the third decade of the 21st century. But one of the most powerful ones in the Western world, you're describing and really critiquing and taking on in your documentary, and you're terming it progressive Christianity. Can you just articulate what that means, what that's about?
Yeah, so the fundamental difference between historic Christianity and progressive Christianity is there is a denial of the scriptures as being from God. You know, we believe the scriptures are written by men, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And their view is that the scriptures are written by men, but this is man's understanding of God evolving over time. So when they look at the Old Testament, they are seeing that as a more primitive view of God. It's not truth. As time goes on, they'll look at the New Testament and say, okay, this is a more evolved understanding of God. And they kind of act like the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. And so they're rejecting things like, well, the God of the Old Testament is wrathful, and he's no longer wrathful in the New Testament, which is not true. This is really, essentially, it's creating a God in your own image, in your own mind. You're subtracting things you don't like about what you see in the Old Testament, mostly, and trying to create this view. And some people call it red letter Christianity, where it's kind of like, we're just going to focus on Jesus and his own words. But even in that, they're ignoring, you know, Jesus's own words about hell and him being the only way to the Father and things like that.
Right. That's right. The exclusivity of Christ is from the lips of Christ. And the number of times Jesus spoke powerfully about hell really ought to stop us in our tracks. We might skip over and think that that's not there, but really that's right there in the Gospels profoundly. And some of the confrontative things that he said is part of the reason why there was such a strong reaction against him, even in his day, ultimately taking him to the cross. So at this point, having given us an overview of what progressive Christianity is, talk to us about the project. What does this film do, and how did you go about doing it? And I'm particularly interested in this because you brought in very trusted voices, pastors, theologians, seminary professors, but you also sat down with people that you would disagree with yourself, but you gave them the freedom to fully articulate their position. So talk a little bit about what you set out to do with this project.
So when you have friends who are in this progressive Christian movement, and you know, the goal is you want to have these conversations with them in a respectful way. And I think I wanted to make this project as a tool to reach them. And so I think talking with people who I disagree with is helpful. And one, it opens the audience up to that progressive Christian audience. You know, they'll be more comfortable if their side, their view is represented fairly and accurately. I also think that when you interview people you disagree with, I like to create a contrast between truth and error, because I think that contrast really creates clarity. When you put those clips back to back, it really helps show what the difference is. And
yeah,
I did that by choosing, for example, I have two people in the film. One is Russell Berger. His story is he begins as an atheist and then becomes a true believer, a Christian. And then Bart Campolo began as a Christian, or you could say maybe nominally or progressive Christian, and then ended up in the secular humanist or atheist camp. And so their stories are kind of mere opposites of each other. I kind of go through different stages of like how they became Christians, and, you know, then they were confronted with ideas of hell or suffering, and how did they react to those when confronted with those truths. You can clearly see that one person is relying on their feelings and the other one is trusting the scripture, and you can kind of see where their foundations are different and how that makes them go off in completely opposite directions. So those are really a couple of examples of some of the issues that are really front and center in this progressive Christianity debate.
And it is complex. I was thinking that as I watched it, because some of the undergirding foundations underneath progressive Christianity have to do with some of the shifts within our cultural moment, the shift from modernity to post-modernity. You talk about that early in the film, and the rejection really that truth is knowable. And there's so many different directions that goes in. It's almost like this complex web of rabbit trails. And it's not, I don't think, as though progressive Christianity goes in all those directions at once. There's all kinds of different errors that spin off of that. And so you have, I think, very helpfully architected this film into 10 different chapters that could be watched individually, which for those who are thinking about ordering this DVD, which I do recommend, that might be a great way to engage it. And I know you've written a study guide and there's all kinds of support materials for it, because this is really deep stuff. But you take us in some different directions. Maybe just give us a quick sketch of some of the important directions that this film goes in.
So I would say that the main topic discussed throughout the entirety of the film are the attributes of God. Really, the gospel, the person and work of Christ, it's all reflective of who God is. And it begins with the problem, which is our sin. And really, our sin isn't really a problem unless you understand that God is holy and he's righteous and he's a just judge. And in Exodus 34, we see like this perfect example of God describing who he is. He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And then it says, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So you have what seems to be this contradictory view of God and his attributes, where he's compassionate and gracious, willing to forgive all sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, which means as a just, righteous, holy God, he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. So it's like, how does that work?
Right.
And we find that out through the cross, especially in Romans 3. We see that God is both just and the justifier of sinners. He's able to forgive by taking the punishment on himself. And so the main objection of progressive Christianity is this view of the cross and this view of God, that he requires justice to forgive. And they will paint this as cosmic child abuse, as if God the Father and God the Son are not triune and in unity and sharing the same motivations for the cross. They'll paint it as the Father is just lashing out on some third party, his unwilling Son, and they'll paint it as, you know, this pagan deity demanding we throw someone into a volcano to sacrifice them so that, you know, our sins can be forgiven. And that's not the case at all. This is God himself taking upon his own righteous requirements in the person of Christ in our place. And they're doing this as one God in a unified plan for our salvation.
Mm. That cosmic child abuse critique from progressive Christianity, I really think is a straw man argument, as are many of them that really aren't taking scripture into account. They're more of a caricature of what, you know, they're saying, well, the Bible teaches this, but, and then they lampoon it. But in reality, you dig into the scripture. One of your guests on the film helpfully says, you know, if we would just read the Bible, just open it up and read it, we'd find it tremendously helpful. And I chuckled and thought, yeah, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? But you didn't do that with the people that were giving these critiques of historic Christianity. You let them speak their mind, and then you brought to light scripture. You let scripture speak, and then you provided opportunity for dialogue about those ideas. And for me, just watching it, I was thinking this is so helpful for the church today, because if we're engaging in a conversation, and there are a lot of opportunities for this, and really all of them are tragic. For anyone listening today who has a grandchild, perhaps, who has gone off to college and just rejected the faith entirely, or maybe a child who has grown up in the church and come to believe that this is false. In fact, you know, the historic Christianity I grew up with, if they grew up with that, or maybe they grew up with you know, some other version of it, but they would say, well, that's toxic. I want nothing to do with that. I want nothing to do with you. You know, there are families where grandkids can't talk to grandparents because of a divide. And how do we have such painful conversations without, you know, resulting in a yelling match or just having no idea what to say? Well, that's where I think American Gospel Christ Crucified steps in so helpfully, because it's a very thoughtful, civil, smart conversation that really brings us back to the Word and gives a lot of clarity in what might otherwise be very confusing. So, Brandon, I just want to thank you for what you have done in this project. Pray that it will be of great blessing and impact for the church today and for our listeners. And let me just give you a chance just to speak to them. It's possible that there is somebody today listening who is struggling themselves with and maybe feeling pulled away. Maybe they're, to use the term that is thrown around a lot, maybe they're thinking that they're deconstructing a little bit. But so this would speak to them. But I think most of our listeners are people that are holding on to Christian faith, that would describe their own faith in Jesus through the terms of the gospel essentials. They're not struggling necessarily with this. What would be a really strong benefit for them? Why would someone want to watch this if this isn't an issue that they're struggling with personally?
Well, I think that every Christian needs to be reminded of the gospel, and I think this will really help you understand that in a deeper way. If a person who isn't struggling personally with progressive Christianity but has friends or family that are, I think it's a good tool to equip them in the type of conversations that they need to have with those people that they love. Mm-hmm. And could even be something that you could invite them to watch. Like I said, there are people in the film that they would agree with, and I think that would help with that type of invitation. And I think a film in general really gives you the opportunity to evangelize in a way you couldn't in a face-to-face conversation. You're not going to typically have a 3-hour, 2.5-hour conversation with someone about these issues. A film really forces someone to sit down and take all the information in. You know, it is a good tool that can be watched repeatedly, can be watched in short segments and chapters to spark these conversations after viewing it with these people that are struggling with the truths of the gospel.
So, Brandon, could you perhaps just give us an example of the kind of impact on someone's life that this film that you've made, American Gospel, Christ Crucified, has had in someone's life, how God has used it?
Well, we receive hundreds of testimonies over the last few years of people who either came to a more clear understanding of the gospel or who got saved after watching the films. God graciously used it as a means to save someone. I have a friend who came out of a hyper-charismatic church and watched the first and this second film, Christ Crucified. In their first watch through the Christ Crucified, they really were identifying with Bart Campolo and Tony Jones and their progressive version of the gospel. And by the end of the film, they came to realize, oh, I'm actually on the wrong side. I'm believing the wrong thing. And it's just interesting that these progressive views about God also exist in like a hyper charismatic type of church. Like you can find this anywhere, honestly.
So he was, in a sense, a functional atheist, or perhaps he would call himself an atheist, and then he came to faith in Christ.
Yeah, so he left his hyper-charismatic church, deconstructed into atheism, and then after watching the American Gospel films and watching content related to other people involved in those films, he later came back to the to faith, believing the historic Christian gospel. Praise God.
Praise God. So, Brandon Kimber, you've made this project, this gift to the church and to those who perhaps are struggling with the claims, the attacks of progressive Christianity on the truth of the gospel. But for those who watch this, what is your prayer that they would take away from having watched this documentary?
My prayer is that people would not be ashamed of the gospel. There are difficult things in the message of Scripture that, you know, we are tempted to water down, but when we do that, it really negates the power of the gospel. For example, if people don't understand that they're sinners and what they deserve and who God is, if you skip all that and just tell them God loves them, has a wonderful plan for their life, and, you know, will forgive them, you've really undercutted what grace is. When you understand mercy and grace, you're not getting what you do deserve. And what is that? The wrath of God for your sin. You can't leave that out and have the gospel make sense. You know, we are saved from God, from his wrath, his justice, his rightful anger towards our wickedness. We're saved by God's grace for his glory. So it's all about him. And if we reject that free offer of grace, we are just left with a works-based religion, which is only burdensome. It just leads to either pride or despair. And, you know, that's really what's happening when, you know, we have a lot of people in seeker-sensitive churches that aren't hearing the gospel. They're hearing a moralistic message. They go to college. They're finally confronted with what's actually in the Bible, and they're challenged by their fellow peers and professors to reject this, and they're leaving a form of moralism for just another form of moralism. Like, if your message is just love God, love people, well, you haven't done that perfectly in light of who God is, and you still have a problem. You need Christ. You need his perfect life, his substitutionary death, resurrection, ascension, all that, for your salvation, and trusting in that alone is your only hope.
Amen. Well, Brandon Kimber, thank you very much for spending some time with us here on Haven today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us again today for the Great Stories podcast. And a thanks to David Wolin and Brandon Kimber for having that timely conversation. If you want to learn more, then I want to encourage you to watch the full DVD called American Gospel, Christ Crucified. And to do that, you can go to our website, watch the trailer, make your gift to Haven Ministries, and we'll get a copy out to you right away. HavenToday.org. And for more conversations like this, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, help us get the word out. Give us a 5-star review. You can also go to HavenToday.org and sign up for our weekly email and discover additional episodes posted on the blog. And as always, thank you for joining us once again on the Great Stories podcast.